Friends, those of you who are able to come to our discipleship retreat, I started off the day by talking about the hierarchy of beings. And I just want to explain that very briefly about what I meant. I had suggested that encountering God is a complicated reality. There is a simplicity as well, and I spoke about that, but it's complicated because of the huge gap between who God is and who we are. So in the hierarchy of beings, you have God, you have angels and spirits, then you have human beings, and then I said you have the higher animals and then the lower animals. That was a mistake. Actually, there are three kinds of animals. There is tutu, and then there is higher animals and lower animals, okay? So that was a mistake. In any case, so there are the higher animals and there are the lower animals, and then there are this vegetative life, and then there is, you know, inanimate things. The difference between God and us is like the difference between a bug and us. It's two levels. Okay? There is a gap between them. So if a bug or a bullfrog were trying to describe a human person, what would they say? So I'm not creating this hierarchy in an artificial way to draw your attention. I'm merely pointing your attention to what Isaiah says in today's first reading. Hear what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, not your ways, says the Lord. This is very significant. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Here's a problem right here. There's a question. If Isaiah's words are true, then is it possible for us as human beings to make any judgment about God? Now the answer is that as human beings, we can never know everything about God. However, we can make some judgments about God. So it's not necessarily like a bullfrog and a bug and a human person. No, there's a difference. What's the difference? We are imbued with rationality. We have reason. And so we have the ability to reason out divine realities. Not fully, but some. Second, we can make judgments about God because of God's self-revelation in history, in scripture, and in the person of Jesus Christ. So these are reasons why we can say some things about God, although not everything. Now, Jesus himself is God's self-revelation. Jesus is the closest we will come to knowing God. And in spite of Jesus' revelation, our full knowledge and understanding of God will only happen when we stand face to face with God. Till then, as Paul says, we are people who are as if looking into a mirror. Mirror in those days were not as clear as the mirrors today. So we see faintly, but not fully. So the parables like we have today about this good employer, this parable, helps us increase our understanding and knowledge of God. And I think that is what Jesus is trying to do in today's gospel reading, talking about God in such a way that it widens our knowledge and our understanding, or perhaps our horizon about God. So in my 3 points today, I would like to focus on the parable of the good employer and its implications for us. First of all, I want to talk about the need for for analogy. And what do I mean by that? So think about your childhood image of God. So when I was a child, I thought that God is old, that God is male, and that God spoke English. I don't think about God that way. And I bet you many people still struggle with this image of God where God is really problematic. The 12th century theologian Thomas Aquinas taught that when it comes to God, our human language falls terribly short in capturing the essence of God. It's just like a bug in human beings. Using our language, there's only so much we can say about God because God is so much higher than us. So Thomas Aquinas says that a sensible way to talk about God is to use analogies. So when Jesus called God Abba, Jesus was not trying to teach us that God is male, but that God is like a father. An analogy. God is like a father who protects for his children, provides for their needs, gives them security, and loves them. And that's why Jesus also used feminine imageries when it comes to God. Hear what he says in the same gospel that we read today. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you are unwilling. So Jesus is not teaching here that God is female, but Jesus is teaching that God is like a mother who offers love, security, and care to her children. In other words, our language about God will always be inadequate. There's only so much we can say about God. However, parables such as this and analogies help us to increase our understanding about God. That's the first thing. Secondly, I want to talk about, because of our lack of comprehension about God or inability to really complete to imagine God in God's fullness, sometimes we try to create God in man's image and likeness. That is what I want to talk about today's parable. The parable of the good employer, and there is a context to this parable. Why did Jesus share this parable? The parable is Jesus' response to the rejection of the revelation of God as Jesus revealed God. He's making a response. Jesus is revealing a certain kind of God, and people are opposing it. And why do we conclude that this is Jesus' response? Because right after this parable, Jesus predicts his suffering and death at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes. So the context is hostile. Before I go into the meaning of the parable, I'd like to focus on an important reality: the rejection of the God revealed in Jesus Christ. The scriptures not only record human rebellion, human disobedience, and human waywardness, but it also records the rejection of God in Jesus. Jesus was rejected because some human beings wanted God to be what God was not. They wanted God to be in their image and likeness. And so here's the problem. In their understanding, someone like Jesus could never be God. When Jesus said he's Son of God, they said, "You're blaspheming." Well, the truth is that Jesus was God. But they wanted to make God in their image and likeness. The question they ask is, how can God be in human form? In their minds, God is just and righteous. And if God is just and righteous, how can God also be kind and merciful? These two things did not go together in their minds. If God is righteous and just, then how can God also be kind and merciful and go after the one stray sheep? That didn't make sense to them. It did not make sense to them that the prodigal son is welcomed back. It did not make sense that Jesus gave refuge to the adulterous woman or ate with tax collectors and sinners. But the fact is this, that the kind of God that is revealed in Jesus could be just and merciful at the same time. Jesus tried to communicate to them that God's thoughts are not their thoughts. God's ways are not their ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are God's thoughts above their thoughts and God's ways above. But they just rejected this message of God through Jesus. So you have the cross. Jesus was crucified, and the cross becomes the epitome of the rejection of the God of Jesus Christ. And now I want to explain how God can be just, and we should not overlook that. God is just. And how can God be just and merciful? This is my third point. So Daniel Harrington, the Jesuit scripture scholar, says, the parable of the good employer defends Jesus' special concern for the marginal people in Jewish society. People were complaining about him that he was associating with disreputable people. And Jesus defends his association with sinners by appealing to the generosity of God. That's why you hear in the gospel reading, Jesus asks, "Are you upset with me because I am generous? Is that the problem here?" So Jesus is appealing to the generosity of God. Jesus defends his association by doing that. And according to Harrington, God is both just and merciful. Those who were hired first, the ones who came at 5 a.m, received a just reward because the employer paid them what was due to them. God did not take away from them and give it to the ones who came at 5. No, they got their just reward. On the other hand, the fact that the latecomers receive the same amount reveals God's mercy and compassion. So God does not deny anybody access. So this parable offers a rich doctrine about God. So we are learning something about God, right? This parable is about a rich doctrine about God. What is this? What is it? The connection between God's justice and God's mercy. On the one hand, just like the laborers who were hired first, we can be sure of God's reward. So there's not one person here who can say, God is not going to be just to me. God will be just. Did you come for Mass today? God will be just. On the other hand, just like those who were hired last, we can also be assured of God's kindness and generosity and mercy. God is both just and merciful. So folks, this message, in my opinion, is very timely for us today. We are so divided in the church between those who consider themselves worthy of communion and those who feel marginalized. And I think God upholds people who, along with their families, are perfect example of Catholic doctrine. And thank God that that is possible. And God is just. On the other hand, there are those who are struggling with divorce and remarriage, with their own sexuality and sexual orientation, with an abortion or pornography or addictions. And we can keep pointing fingers at one another. But here is the point that Jesus is trying to make. None of us merits the kingdom because of our righteousness. The kingdom is ours only because God is both just and merciful. There is only one thing we can count on for sure, and that's God's generosity. So I don't know where you stand in your righteousness, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with one another. I don't know where you stand in your theology. I don't know. All I can do is take this parable of Jesus and simply proclaim that God is saying to us, all are welcome. All are welcome because God is both just and merciful. This Eucharist is a symbol of God's justice and mercy. He has justice on the cross. Jesus took our sins, and we celebrate that in the Eucharist. On the other hand, God is merciful, because not one person here can say, I can receive communion today because I did something right. We can only do so because Christ offers his body and blood to us, the generous, just, and merciful God. People of God said,